Our talk tonight is bringing out the best in others. Our speaker, David Fletcher, is joining us from Nova Scotia in Canada. David has worked as an educator, action researcher, and capacity building consultant right across the world. So from Africa to Asia, and of course, back to North America. He specializes in exploring Indigenous wisdom for community resilience. We've specifically asked David to explore three things with us tonight. How to empower others so that they optimize their strength and potential. Spark energy, engagement, and motivation, that's number two. And number three, create space for people to flourish and thrive. I know this is a subject very close to my own heart, so I'm going to be paying a lot of attention. After David's talk, he's going to do a short meditation. And after the meditation, he'll be taking your questions. So please do send in your questions, and I will be putting them to David on your behalf. David, over to you.
Thank you, Artie, very much. And I'm very happy to be here. Hello to everyone out there in Zoom land. Three very specific questions. I guess time will tell half an hour from now if I'm able to touch on those or not, because I'm sort of approaching things in a bit of an indirect way, where I want to talk about some of my own inspirations, some of my experiences, and some insights that that has given me. So I have a bit of a PowerPoint here. I'm going to share my screen, and hopefully people are able to see the screen and see me as well.
Yes, we see both.
Just trying to adjust here. Okay, great. So bringing out the best in others, inspirations, experiences, and insights. And I wanted to start just by asking people to take a minute and think for yourself, what is a quote or a person that inspires you and why? And it might be a quote from a famous person, might be a quote from a movie star or a philosopher or a theologian. Might be a quote from your mother or father or your children. But just think about a quote or about a person who inspires you. And maybe what is it about that person? What characteristics do they exhibit? Or what values or virtues do they express that inspires you? And just think for a minute and maybe write that down or take note of it somewhere. If you're driving your car, commuting home, please don't stop and try to write something. Just think about it. But a quote or a person that inspires you. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what things have inspired me. And the first one is this quote, Beren Kashia Chiki, Baya Maganin Yunwa. It's a proverb from in Hausa, from northern part of Nigeria. And the meaning is, leaving bad stuff in your stomach will not cure your hunger. And I get the slide moving here. There we are. Beren Kashia Chiki, Baya Maganin Yunwa. And this was something I heard over 30 years ago now, and at the time really inspired me that, yeah, if there's something that's bad in your environment or something bad inside, you need to talk about it. You need to get it out. You need to speak up and express it. And that's how change will happen in the world. And this kind of proverb inspired me for a long time in becoming an activist and wanting to speak out and not letting negative things sit, but wanting to make a difference in them. But then I had an experience a few years after that, where I was invited to take part in a sweat lodge ceremony. This was with the Ojibwe people in northern Manitoba, one of the provinces of Canada. And it's a sacred ceremony, a cleansing ceremony. And I sort of went out of curiosity. You go inside this little enclosure they've constructed, and rocks are heated up in the fire you see out front. And then those rocks are taken into the center of the building. The tarps are closed and they throw water on the hot rocks, so it becomes very, very hot. So physically, your body sweats a lot, gets rid of toxins, but also the deeper meaning of this spiritual ceremony, and with great respect to the Indigenous people that have shared this with so many others, is that it can cleanse the negative things inside your system, inside your soul. And it made me think about that expression, Beren Kashia Chiki, you need to get the bad things out, but it's not necessarily by getting other people to change or the system to change. It's about changing things and cleansing things within inside yourself. So that was a really powerful experience for me. And I share both of these stories to begin with, because I think very often when we think about bringing in the best in others, we think about the others and how do you motivate or get others to change. And a lot of my experiences have pointed to me that one needs to change oneself before thinking about changing others. One needs to think about changing oneself before thinking about changing the world. So that's why I wanted to start with those two. Another quotation that inspires me, and this is one many of you have probably heard, be the change you want to see in the world. On many t-shirts, probably one of the most quoted quotations around the world from Mahatma Gandhi, who tomorrow is the 151st anniversary of his birth, by the way, lots of celebrations going on. It's also the UN International Day of Nonviolence. So I've used and thought about this quote a lot, be the change you want to see in the world. But I admit for a long time, it was, I'm okay, but other people need to make the changes that we all want to see in the world. You know, I was inspired by Gandhi's, you know, salt march, by all of the activities that he and others did that changed the colonial government in India. But I always thought about what this little man in a peaceful way did to change others. And again, it's only more recently that I began to learn that he was really focusing on the changes we need to make in ourselves and make ourselves the best we can be to see change in the world. And I had an experience, is Gandhi. I had an experience in India that helped drive some of this home for me. This was around 2002, I guess. And I met a woman by the name of Daddy Janki, who's a spiritual leader in India. And there were maybe 400 people in the room, and she came in. She's just a small woman. Now passed. She was maybe 85 or something at the time. She lived to be 104. And she came in and there was a chair set up for her on the stage. And she said, no, take that chair down, sit it in front of the group on the floor. I want to be close to people. And she said, I'm going to speak to you for 30 or 40 minutes, and you're going to be really happy at the end of this time. You're just going to feel really happy and joyful. And I was sitting there and sort of engaged my critical thinking and was a little hesitant about, you know, is this woman going to hypnotize us or what exactly is going to go on? And she spoke for about 30 minutes and asked some questions and answered some questions. For the life of me, I don't remember anything that she said. But at the end of the 30 minutes of her talk, I felt this amazing happiness deep, deep in my heart and in my soul. I was joyful. I felt intoxicated. And I didn't know why. There was no reason for it, but I just felt this great happiness. And it was a recognition that, you know, if you have those positive feelings, those good wishes for others, you can influence them. Your vibrations can influence them. It's not necessarily anything you do, but just those positive thoughts and wishes can have an influence on other people and can bring them happiness, which is something we're often looking for. And I think she was able to do that because she was happy herself. So she had made the change that then made a change with others in the world. Another story is from a Canadian anthropologist, or another quote by the name of Wade Davis. And this quote I've liked for a long time. He says, the world in which you were born is just one model of reality. Other cultures are not failed attempts at being you. They are unique manifestations of the human spirit. And as a sociologist, as having the opportunity to travel to different parts of the world and live and work in different parts of the world, I think this is such a powerful understanding. You know, when you get to know different Indigenous people who live close to the land, they have an entirely different worldview of what's important and how to live one's life in a way that's valuable and sustainable and honors themselves, their ancestors, their children, the land that they're part of. And we need to really think about there's not one way of living and one way of surviving in the world. Excuse me. And an experience that resonates with this is I was doing some research work in northern Ghana fairly recently with the Dagara people, and there was one person who I interviewed a number of times who we talked about as the proud farmer. He is a proud farmer. And you know, from a Western lens or with different eyes, we might say, you know, he's a poor man. He's struggling with climate change. There's problems of soil erosion and unpredictable rainfall, and it's difficult to get seeds to plant on his farm. And there's all of these other issues going on in his environment. But I learned a lot from him because he was very proud of being a farmer and believed very strongly that he and his people were in the world to make their livelihood from the land. That was a gift from God, from the Supreme, that they could get their living, their survival, their happiness from growing things on the land. And that was a special gift. And he is very proud that that's how his parents and grandparents and others of his people made their living. And he's very hopeful that his children and his grandchildren and descendants into the future will be able to survive from the land he is a very proud farmer. And he accepted that that's his role, his part to play in the world, is to be a farmer and to be skilled and confident and accepting of that role. So I learned a lot from him as well, you know, that the best of who he can be is who he wants to be and who he feels his destiny is. I've got a couple other experiences I wanted to share, but I thought I'd just ask you to take another minute now and think about what is an experience or other experiences that you've learned from that continues to guide you in how you interact in the world. A particular experience that's guided you, that you've learned something from, that sits deeply in your heart, in your mind. And it continues to guide you in how you discern and make decisions for how you interact with others in the world, whether it's in your family or your workplace or your school or your neighborhood. What are those experiences that take you forward? And maybe at the end, in the question and answer, if people want to share some quotes or some of their own experiences, that would be great. Another one that I wanted to touch on in terms of a quote comes from this woman, some of you may know, Joanna Macy, who's a well-known environmentalist and has been for decades and decades. She's also a practicing Buddhist. And she and others sort of articulated this idea of we're at a very particular point in the history of the world right now. And she calls it the Great Turning. And that it's sort of a tipping point. We've come to a place on the trajectory of our industrial sort of knowledge-based environmentally destructive economy, that if we continue in the same trajectory, it could lead to destruction and a lot of suffering. And I think climate change is one really good indicator of that. But she says, you know, we're on that trajectory, but it's a very special time because people are going to change things so that there's a great turning away from that point of destruction. And she says we do that by taking action to stop the destruction, by creating new alternatives. She's great on talking about creative energy, but also changing our consciousness, changing our attitudes about things. And two of the things she mentions is the importance of starting with gratitude. You know, being thankful for the land and the water that produces food, that gives us sustenance. Being thankful for our family members and those in our friendship circles and our work circles who collaborate with us and support us. And giving gratitude for each day we have as a living being on this earth. And this was a really profound you know, advice to me in terms of the place to start is always with gratitude. Joanna Macy also talks about, you know, don't be afraid of the dark. Like, there is negativity in the world. There is corruption. There are bad things going on all the time. But don't start there. Don't be afraid of looking at those things. But start with gratitude. Start being thankful for not what you have, but what you are and what others are in the world. And she also talks about acting your age. And she doesn't mean, you know, if you're 27, act 27, or if you're 45, act 45, whatever. She says, think about yourself at this time on the planet, whatever age you are, and recognize that 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, if you believe the geologists and the scientists, you know, millions of years ago, there was life on this planet. And there will be something on this planet in the galaxy 100 years, 1,000 years, however many years into the future. And one has to act their age in terms of being part of this whole continuum of life. And that we have a special part to play at this time, but also we have to have that perspective, that deep time perspective, she talks about it, in terms of all that has gone before and all that will come in the future. And you know, if you think of yourself as, if you believe in rebirth or sort of the eternal nature of the soul, you know, it's the same kind of thing. It's not just right now at this time. That's important. But there's lots before and lots after that is really important for us as well. And we need to act our age in that way. A story, kind of a funny story that supported this quote and this learning from Joanna Macy, I call Fikre and the Bee. It was the early 2000s, I was in Ethiopia, and Fikre Ayelu, a good friend of mine, and I were out on a field trip doing some work in the rural areas. And we stopped for lunch and had a nice lunch. And there were all these bees buzzing around. And we tried to, you know, swat them off and get rid of them. And at one point, a bee flew into my Coke bottle, and I grabbed the cap and put it on top of the Coke bottle and kind of looked quite proud that, look, I've, you know, captured one of these pesky bees that were bothering us. And Fikre reached over and took the cap off the bottle and said, born free, live free. And it was another one of those deep lessons for me in terms of, you know, the relationship we have with different living beings, and that they all have a part to play. And the bee wasn't doing anything wrong. The bee was just being a bee, you know? And it is one of the biodiversity, one of the creations of divinity on the earth, you know, and we have to have respect for those things. We have to have right relationships with all those living things and show them love and show them respect for being who they're supposed to be. And for me, it was also a lesson about, you know, about discipline. Like, I can talk about myself as believing in nonviolence, etc. Fikre is a strong Orthodox Christian. And for him, you know, the bee wasn't doing anything wrong. It deserves to live just as much as we do. And to live that every moment of every day for him was really important, to give the opportunity for the bee to be what it was meant to be. So a good lesson there. Another example was, another quote that I really like, and I just actually found this picture this morning. Thank you to Shutterstock for letting me take it off the internet and use it in this presentation. And this is a quote from the Persian poet Rumi from the 13th century. Sit down and be quiet. You are drunk and standing on the edge of a roof. And for me, this is very significant because I think the world as a world civilization is drunk in some ways with our fast-paced technology and media and economic system and political systems, that it's really, what's the phrase, you know, running roughshod over so many people in so many different places in so many different ways. You know, the whole world is drunk. And when the whole world is drunk and you're standing on a precipice, like many environmentalists would argue, that's where we are right now in the climate crisis, the environmental crisis that we're experiencing. When you're there drunk on the edge of a roof, the best thing to do is sit down and be quiet, you know, and sober up a little bit and not continue that momentum to the edge. And what I think has struck me very personally concerning this quote is my experiences in the last year and a half, and many of us have had experiences that may be similar or maybe quite different. I left a job about 2.5-3 years ago now. Decided to kind of semi-retire and travel to different parts of the world where I had worked before, and continued to do work with some of my colleagues, whether it was for pay or as a volunteer. And that was going to be the life I was going to move into, to take advantage of the opportunities that I had to travel the world and hopefully do good works that contributed to what was happening in different parts of the world. And of course, we all know that changed in the last year and a half. And the COVID virus spread to all corners of the world, but there wasn't a lot of air travel happening. And certainly I myself haven't traveled anywhere outside of my small community in the last year and a half. And I'll admit there have been many, many ups and downs in that journey. Many ups and downs in that journey the last year and a half. But I'm beginning to realize the great value and the great opportunity that I've been given to sit down and be quiet and not continue on that trajectory of busyness and intensity and the kind of work that I had been doing in the past, but truly make a break from the kind of work and stress I had been causing myself for the previous 30 odd years. So COVID was a gift in that way to sit down and be quiet. And I, like I know many others, can still keep really busy on Zoom calls back and forth and doing other things. And I do hope to travel again once things open up and we can get on airplanes. But I think I've, in reflection, I've learned a new lesson about the real power of just slowing down a little bit and looking at things in a different way. The last quote I wanted to share is again from Northern Ghana. It's a quote in Dagare, the language of the Dagara people. And the expression is "lib fo manga." To get out of a difficult situation, you have to change yourself. And you'll notice this is similar to some of the other quotes that I used earlier in some of the stories I've told. But I think it was useful again in terms of driving home this message. You know, to get the best out of others, one has to work really hard to get the best out of and put the best into oneself. And if you're able to put the best into oneself, you can get out of difficult situations. And you can more ably help others get out of difficult situations if they put the best into themselves as well, so they can bring out the best in themselves. So to get out of a difficult situation, change yourself, lieb Fo Manga. And one of the experiences that I've had off and on in many ways over the last 20 or 30 years is the value of these values and virtues cards. Many of you may have seen different kinds of card decks, self-mastery cards, different things. They're common to sort of the proverbs and expressions that I found from so many Indigenous people on the African continent and elsewhere. And they're sort of to inspire and get people thinking about values and virtues they can use to guide their life. Not in an abstract philosophical sense, but in everyday activities. You can choose a card and there's a message there that will help you as you move forward. And these ones on the screen now are from a deck called the Self-Mastery Cards, which I think are probably available from Inner Space. You know, and they talk about freedom and purpose and introspection and wonder and openness and compassion and introvertedness. And all of these things can be very useful in our life. And I've certainly found in day-to-day situations, bringing this kind of energy into a situation, whether it's your situation or a situation for someone you love or are working closely with, it can help to bring out the best in those people as something that's already being expressed and is important to them, or as something that they can aspire to and make that extra effort to bring into their lives. So if people are willing, what I'd like to do is just take a moment now to give you the opportunity to get a value to guide you as you go forward the next little while, whether it's today or the next couple of days, and choose one of these cards, A, B, C, D, E, F. And I'll share with you a value or virtue that relates to those. So if you chose C, it's about cooperation. You lend your talents to others and make tasks light. If you chose A, good wishes, your heart is filled with recognition of others. You always wish them the best. If you chose F, it's about tolerance. Like the apple tree, you give even when others are taking, expressing love with a full heart, unconditionally. And if you chose ABCDE, it's about courage. Like a candle in the face of a lion, you move forward with confidence, clarity, and purpose. And if out there in Zoom land, if you chose B, it's about creativity. You allow your creativity to emerge from within, expressing your inner mastery and beauty. And if you chose D, it's about positivity. You take each circumstance and situation for its deeper hidden meaning. Knowing, you learn. So I hope those value cards give a little bit of the experience that I've been enjoying in many different ways over the last 25 years or so. This leads me to the, oh, I'm so sorry, I wasn't sharing my screen at that time. I was looking at the camera and missed the screen. So there, I asked you to choose A, B, C, D, E, F, and there's cooperation. You lend your talents, good wishes, your heart is filled, tolerance, like the apple tree, you give even when others are taking. Courage, like a candle, you move forward with confidence. Creativity, express your inner mastery and beauty. And positivity, you take each circumstance for its deeper meaning. Apologies for that. It leads us, though, to our final slide here of insights and propositions. And this is just how I sort of summarized some of the things I reflected on through this process about, what can bring out the best in others by starting by bringing out the best in yourself. Change yourself and care for yourself. Self-care is so important. But if you want to see changes in the world, you have to change yourself. Trust yourself and others. Ask questions. It's always better to ask questions than to give answers. And ask people about their experience and what they intend to make of opportunities put in front of them. Because that's their path, that's their part to play. It's so important to have an aim and an objective. And are we clear about reaching for the highest in the aim and objective we have for ourselves? As an adult educator, this is an important one. Have experiences, but the learning happens when you reflect on those experiences. That's when the learning happens. That's when we gain insights to the world. And to generate and regenerate your own philosophy of living. I think deep down we're all philosophers inside in some ways. And we need to generate from our own experiences, from the things that resonate from us with the education we've had or the spiritual tradition we might follow. From that, generate and regenerate your own philosophy of living that has truth for you. And then like Fikre, be disciplined in following what that is. And then the last one, accept and nurture the links we have to the earth, to the environment, to the bigger unfolding of the cosmos, that sense of deep time. Things have been going on and will go on for a long time. And the divine spirit, if you have a belief in, those metaphysical energies, those other powers in the world. Accept and nurture that relationship as well and make it a central part of your life. And to know that you belong and to bring out the best in others, to make them know that they belong, and to bring out the best in yourself, know that you belong in what the part you're playing in the world at this time. So I think my time has come to an end. Artie asked me to do a little meditation with you. So I'll just maybe take 2 or 3 minutes for that, and then we'll have some question and discussion. So let's just take a moment and contemplate and reflect on what we've heard in the last 30 minutes. Let's think about who inspires us and what experiences guide us in our life. And let's apply these insights to how we will bring out the best in ourselves and the best in others. Take a deep breath and slow down. Slow down your breathing. And slow down your thoughts. Concentrate on one individual, one relationship that may be concerning you at this time. Think about how you might bring out the best in that relationship. Even if there is pressure or challenges for that person at this time, think of the strengths and abilities they have, they can bring to the situation. Send them good wishes. Have faith that whatever happens will be a positive learning experience for all. Trust in them and trust in the process. They can reflect and learn as you can. And out of that, create new ways of being that can influence the situation. Inspire them with good wishes and your vision of a positive future. And motivate them to find the space to flourish and thrive. Just as you make the space for yourself to flourish and thrive. And be the best you can be. Take a deep breath and breathe in the positive energy. And when you are ready, return to the here and now, knowing you have a unique role to play in the world at this time.
Thank you, David.
Om Shanti.
There's a couple of questions that have already come in, David, so I'm going to start with actually somebody's quote. You'd requested people to send in quotes.
Lovely, yes.
So this person sent in their first quote. The greatest prison people live in is the fear of what other people think, David. Here's the first question. The first question is, exploring this proud farmer story that you had, and that he had that sense that what he was doing was very important and that's what he was born to do. I have a job that makes me feel that it's meaningless and it devalues me. How would I change from doing filing to feeling like a proud filer.
Very good question, and you're probably not the only one that feels their jobs might not have a lot of meaning in them. Hopefully your job only takes a third of your time, or maybe a little bit more, even if it takes half of your time. You know, invest the other half of your time that things that truly give you meaning. You know, many people I know, they don't find meaning in their jobs, and they go home and they watch television and they say television is meaningless, or they do this or they do that, and it's meaningless, and it becomes overwhelming. But there are areas of our lives where I think we can make some choices and make those choices and bring meaning into your life as you can. And this might seem like a small thing, but I think there's something really powerful about seeing things growing, you know. So to be like a farmer, grow something, literally grow herbs on your balcony, or make sure when you get your food, you get fresh food from a farmer's market or something, and bring that meaning into your life as well. It's a tough situation. It's a challenging one, but I think we still often look outside for the meaning to come into our lives by changing our job or doing this or doing that. But bringing meaning into our lives, I think, is a choice we can make ourselves. It's not often easy to do, and it might take many inspiring quotes and many different experiences to actually make a difference, but we can make those choices to bring meaning into our lives. And I wish you the best in making those choices.
Thank you. How do you get out of, how do you get the unhealthy stuff inside out if you can't see it? It's a blind spot for you. Have you ever experienced this, and how did you deal with it? And perhaps you could give an example if that's not too much to ask.
Certainly there are things inside, there are blind spots, and it's hard to know they're there. One approach is to fill up with positivity. You know, if we invest the time in positivity and positive thoughts, it can decrease the influence of that negativity that's inside. You know, we can turn to others. We can become part of a group or a community where we have those heartfelt conversations, and people can help us to see what we may have been blind to and make the changes. But also I find, you know, in a place of meditation. And sometimes my meditation means sitting quietly and writing to myself in a journal every morning. Through that contemplation and introspection, I think we can expose and find the roots of some of those things. And then that can help the power of them dissolve. They may reoccur, and we may need to write about them again. And there are certain things that I've written about time and time again over the years. But I find exposing them and taking the energy out of them can be really useful. Also, you know, I mentioned the sweat lodge ceremony. There are other so-called ceremonies we can do for ourselves that can make a difference. Just day before yesterday, I was with a group of people on a beach and we had a fire. And we thought about some of the negative things that were still having an influence on our life. And we wrote them on a piece of paper and folded up the piece of paper and threw it in the fire. You know, it was a little ceremony. But if you're in that space where something has come up, you know, it's come out of the blind spot and it's there and it's visible in front of you, you can write it down. And if you truly want to get rid of it, and you do a ceremony like that to burn it away, it's going to start you on the right direction for changing those things. Hope that's helpful.
Thank you. You spoke about trusting yourself. I've been sick for a while, and I have a problem trusting myself now, as I don't know if I'd be able to cope in a work situation. Is there any practice that could help develop trust? And that's the question.
Yeah, so often when people think about trust, they think about trust with others. But trust of oneself, I think, is a more challenging thing. And, I would say any decisions you make about engaging in things or not engaging in things, don't do it because of other people's expectations. Do it because you choose that's something you're going to do that's going to bring some more meaning or some more sustainability or something positive into your life, and ensure that you have the confidence and the positivity about doing that. And you might also need to draw on courage. You know, don't just always take the easy path. But that courage in the card I shared about courage, you know, it's that image of holding a single candle, but having enough confidence in that candle and that light that even a lion coming towards you is not going to throw you off your path. So make a choice, trust in yourself and where you get strength from. It might be your faith, your belief system, your understanding of your path, and then have the courage to take the risk and go forward. But do it for yourself, not for someone else's expectations or what the world or the media or someone else expects you to do.
Thank you. Next question. I've recently moved in with a new flatmate, a very good friend of mine, as I've moved to London for a new job. How can I bring out that sense of belonging between us and bring out the best for her, especially when she's feeling particularly down?
Yeah, I think it takes time. These are tough questions. Thank you very much for these questions. You know, those intimate relationships we have, if we're living in the same space, it's an intimate relationship. How do we constantly show love? How do we constantly send good wishes to those people? How do we demonstrate the things we do to bring out the best in ourselves without putting pressure on the other people and expecting them to behave in a particular way? Their path may be very different than our path at this time. They may need time to be quiet. they may need time to rest. And we might interpret that as being down, and it might just be a time for them of building energy and developing energy. Or they may need the motivation to get out and get fresh air and experience things differently. And it's a very fine line of how we work in those relationships. But I think what's most important is the positivity, the love, the respect for the journey that the other person is on and the journey that you're on, and realizing you're in relationship with each other, and moving forward the best you can, you know, with moments of happiness and moments of laughter and moments of lightness along the way. And we can give that light with to others, develop it with others by having those positive feelings and giving regard to them for what they're doing. And yeah, best of luck in that situation.
Thank you. And finally, I have one more quote to share with you, which I think is absolutely fabulous. When nails grow long, we cut nails, not fingers. Similarly, when misunderstandings grow, cut your ego, not your relationship. And that quote is anonymous, I'm afraid to say. So there you are.
But it's a great quote for the previous question.
Yes, it is. Yeah, definitely.